Back to the UN General Assembly. Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani, the Qatar Emir, is speaking.
Every success. I also express our appreciation to His Excellency Mr. Volkan Bozkir for his effort in managing the deliberations of the 75th session of the General Assembly. I extend my congratulations to His Excellency Mr. Antonio Guterres on his re-election as Secretary General of the United Nations. We reaffirm our support for him in accomplishing his mission. Honourable audience, our meeting today, held in person rather than virtually under the theme Restoring Hope, sends an important message about the return to normalcy, with, of course, full adherence to protection and precaution measures. This comes after the world witnessed and is still witnessing difficult times due to the COVID-19 pandemic, which has left behind millions of victims and countless humanitarian and socio-economic crises. This difficult test, still facing humanity, has revealed the flaws and vulnerabilities of our collective security system, while inspiring us with many lessons. This includes the importance of balancing between the concern for people's health and maintaining the economic cycle to secure their livelihoods. It also includes the importance of integration between the indispensable role of the state played within its borders on the one hand and its role in confronting cross-border issues and joint commitments to counter challenges, crises and disasters on the other hand. We affirm our support to the priorities included in this session's vision, emphasizing the need for the equitable distribution of vaccines, ensuring their accessibility to the countries in the Southern Hemisphere, while securing treatment for all and coordinating efforts to combat another pandemic, that is the pandemic of fake news, of conspiracy theories, and the unprecedented skepticism about the vaccines which has swept the world during this pandemic and is still hindering the necessary spread of the vaccines against the backdrop of its continuation. In this regard, the state of Qatar has adopted a balanced and effective approach to tackle the pandemic and its impact on the health and economy at the national level. Experience has proven that success in this fight depends both on the state's policies and capabilities, especially in the field of public health, citizens' sense of responsibility, and their level of awareness. Building on our partnership with the international community to counter global crises, the State of Qatar has spared no effort to provide support to relevant international institutions and countries affected by the pandemic. We have continued to provide medical supplies and cater to other needs to counter the pandemic through the Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization, GAVI. We also provided support to the World Health Organization and the Humanitarian Initiative to provide vaccines for the most vulnerable groups and the countries in dire need. Honorable attendees, conflicts loom large in the United Nations agenda and place heavy burdens on its shoulders since its foundation. Unfortunately, the Middle East region is a source of many of these burdens. Hence, Qatar believes that contributing to the peaceful settlement of conflicts as one of its priorities, including suggesting concepts of collective security, as there can be no security, stability, development, or decent human life under conflicts. We have always endeavored for an environment of peace, stability, and cooperation in the region. For example, in the Gulf region, our immediate environment, we have repeatedly stressed the importance of the Gulf Cooperation Council and our commitment to settle any differences through constructive dialogue. The Al Ula Declaration, issued by the leaders of the GCC countries last January, came as an embodiment of the principle of settling differences through dialogue based on common interests and mutual respect. We are confident in our ability to consolidate this consensus reached among brothers. On the other hand, we believe that rational dialogue underpinned on mutual respect is the only solution to the disagreements and differences with Iran. This is also applicable on the return to the nuclear agreement with Iran. I do not think that there are alternatives to this approach, including among those who oppose the return to this agreement. Honorable audience, this year has witnessed numerous Israeli violations in the occupied East Jerusalem and a recurrence of attacks on Islamic and Christian sanctities, especially the Al-Aqsa Mosque during the holy month of Ramadan, and the seizure of Palestinian homes in the context of the Judaization and settlement policies. This was followed by a dangerous military escalation in the Gaza Strip, which caused hundreds of casualties among unarmed civilians, aggravating the already dire humanitarian situation in the Strip. The international community bears responsibility to reach a comprehensive, just and peaceful settlement of the Palestinian cause by establishing a Palestinian state on the 1967 borders, with East Jerusalem as its capital alongside the State of Israel, putting an end to the occupation of Arab territories, in addition to reaching a just solution to the refugee issue. This is what the international community has agreed upon for decades, yet it has not been reflected on the ground despite its risks if left unresolved. As a result of this continuous procrastination, there occasionally appear some who believe that we can marginalize the Palestinian cause on the international agenda or circumvent such a deeply rooted national cause by suggesting ideas such as improving the economic situation of the population under occupation instead of ending this occupation. Recently, the issue of evacuating the residents of the Sheikh Jarrah and Silwan neighborhood, the storming of Al-Aqsa Mosque by the settlers, and the Palestinian Arab and international angry popular response came to reaffirm the centrality of the Palestinian cause and that there is no way to circumventing it. Honorable attendees, the American decision to withdraw from Afghanistan following negotiations with the Taliban constituted an extremely critical turning point for this country. The responsibility lies first and foremost on the Afghan people with all its factions, and second on the international community to work systematically and persistently to achieve a comprehensive political settlement and pave the way for stability in this country that has long suffered from the ravages of war. As you know full well, Qatar has spared no effort to help in evacuating thousands of individuals and families from various nationalities during the past weeks. It was our humanitarian duty. Most importantly, though, is that we were confident that war offers no solution. At the end of the day, there had to be dialogue. And our actions were underpinned on this basis when we hosted the Taliban office based on a request by our international partners to open and patronize a direct dialogue between them and Taliban in Doha. This position has proven to be correct. In coordination with our international partners, we will continue to do all what's necessary to ensure that the tangible gains achieved within the Doha path will be maintained. It's necessary that the parties abide by their commitments. The State of Qatar reaffirms its firm position on the need to protect civilians, respect human rights, combat terrorism, and reach a comprehensive political solution to ensure security and stability for the sake of the Afghan people. In this regard, we emphasize the importance of the continued support of the international community to the Afghan people at this critical stage and to separate between humanitarian aid and political differences. It's also important to continue dialogue with Taliban. Boycotting them will only lead to polarization and reactions, whereas dialogue could be fruitful. The issue in Afghanistan is not a matter of victory or defeat, but rather the failure to import a political system, regardless of intentions, efforts made, or money invested. This experience in Afghanistan has collapsed after 20 years. The world has reached correct conclusions in this domain. However, it's important to avoid slipping into counter-extremism if major powers abandon their duties regarding issues of world peace, guaranteeing the implementation of international conventions and protecting civilians from war crimes. There is a difference between imposing trusteeship on other countries and carrying duties by major powers to implement international resolutions and conventions. It's also unreasonable for major powers to impose by force of arm on other countries the form of a political system that they deem appropriate on the one hand, and give up on the other hand, supporting countries that have adopted the same system of governance desired by the will of their people without external interference. It has been a decade since the start of the Syrian crisis, which unfolded with a peaceful uprising and then turned into a humanitarian catastrophe due to the war launched by the regime against its people and the extremist armed forces that took advantage of the situation. The continued crisis poses immense perils, including the aggravation of the threat of terrorism to Syria and to the peace and security in the region and the world at large. We should not turn a blind eye to the Syrian issue, and the international community should not turn its back on the suffering of the Syrian people, like what happened with the bombing of the city of Daraa and other areas. There will come a day when we remember these incidents with great regret. The international community must redouble its effort to put an end to this crisis through a peaceful solution in accordance with the Geneva Communique 1, the implementation of Security Council Resolution 2254, with all its elements, and to maintain the national unity, territorial integrity, sovereignty, and independence of Syria. Turning to Libya, we have witnessed positive developments that give rise to cautious optimism. The ceasefire and the resumption of the Libyan Political Dialogue Forum, the election of representatives of the interim executive authority, and winning a vote of confidence of the House of Representatives by the National Unity Interim Government are all positive developments. We call upon all Libyan parties to preserve these gains and ensure the full implementation of what has been agreed upon on the political, economic, and security tracks, and to successfully hold elections and work on reaching comprehensive reconciliation. With regard to the crisis in Yemen, where the war has led to tragic humanitarian situations and risks of division that may in turn lead to the outbreak of other conflicts, the State of Qatar reaffirms its keenness for Yemen's unity and territorial integrity. We reiterate our firm position that the only way out of the crisis is through a negotiation between the Yemeni parties on the basis of the outcome of the National Dialogue, the Gulf Cooperation Initiative, and the relevant Security Council resolutions, especially Resolution 2216. Excellencies, these days mark the 50th anniversary of Qatar's membership in the United Nations on the 21st of September 1971. Over the past five decades, relations between Qatar and the international organization were characterized by close cooperation and exemplary partnerships in various fields. Qatar's bet on international institutions and multilateral cooperation was a strategic one. In this context, we affirm pursuing our contributions to support UN entities and fulfilling our commitments to the issues identified as priorities by the international community at this stage. We're pleased that Doha has become a hub for international multilateral action in our region, which is in dire need for the work and effort of the UN agencies and other international institutions. The offices hosted in Doha have started functioning. In this context, we look forward to inaugurating the United Nations House in Doha soon. Speaking of the United Nations and global issues facing humanity at large, highlighting the need for its role, I would like to refer to the participation of the State of Qatar in international effort to combat terrorism and address its root causes through supporting education, addressing poverty and unemployment among youth, as well as settling conflicts, which all constitute a breeding ground for terrorism. I would also like to refer to the world's increasing dependence on information technology and modern communication in all aspects of life, from education, security, and economy. On the other hand, the world has felt the effects of the misuse of cyberspace, including the breaching private domains of individuals and international piracy, and the serious threat it poses to the security and stability of the international community. Thus, we reiterate our call to the United Nations to lead the process of unifying efforts to prevent the misuse of scientific progress in cybersecurity and regularize these vital aspects in line with the rules of international law. Climate change remains one of the most critical challenges of our time. It brings disastrous impacts on all aspects of life for the current and future generations. Thus, we must continue our joint efforts to counter those effects. We look forward to the upcoming United Nations COP26 to be held in Glasgow, in the United Kingdom, to be a turning point towards realizing the ambitions of the international community. In this regard, the State of Qatar has placed climate change at the forefront of its priorities, adopting the necessary measures to develop climate change-related technologies and clean energy. We will present all such measures at the conference next November. To conclude, our joint responsibility and the shared destiny of humanity require dedication to the values of partnership in international relations to achieve the interests of our peoples and the good of humanity. I thank you, and may the peace, mercy, and blessings of God be upon you.